Hi, this is the voice, Michael Schiavello. You're listening to the Premium Oddscast, hosted by leading MMA odds maker Nick Kalikas, fight scientist and author of Fightnomics, Reid Kuhn, and MMA journalist Brian Heminger. The absolute best UFC betting info, picks, statistics, and analysis from the most respected authority in mixed martial arts betting, MMAOddsBreaker.com.
Podcast presented by Five Dime Sportsbook. I'm Brian Heminger, joined today by leading mixed martial arts odds maker Nick Kalikas to break down this Saturday's UFC Fight Night 119 event, which takes place in Sao Paulo, Brazil. If you're unfamiliar with our format, Nick and I will break down the fight card from top to bottom, providing extensive analysis and a pick for each fight after doing our film study for the event. Looking back at our last event, we won 4.63 units for UFC Fight Night 118 after going 2-0 on our premium bets. We also lost 1.86 units on our free bet. Back to the present, UFC Fight Night 119 features a 12-fight card in total and will be aired on UFC Fight Pass, Fox Sports 2, and Fox Sports 1 this Saturday night. Let's dive right in. Now, kicking things off on Fight Pass is a heavyweight contest between UFC newcomer Marcelo Gomes, who is 5-0, and veteran Christian Colombo, who is 8-2-1. Now, Nick, where did you open this fight, and how has the public shifted things so far?
I put Gomes -175, the comeback on Colombo at +135. Right now, looking over at fivedimes.eu, our sponsored sportsbook, it is Gomes -225, the comeback on Colombo is at +185. And recently, we're seeing the action increase a little bit more as well. And we're recording this a little bit later than normal this week on Thursday. So it's been pretty steady up until this day. So a little bit more steam coming in Gomes' way right now. I agree with it in some ways. I think that the bottom line of this fight is Gomes is definitely a heavyweight prospect. Obviously, he's been fighting in Brazil, but the people and level of competition that he's been facing has been horrific. I mean, they've been all cans. They've been all bums. But watching film on him, I mean, the guy definitely has some potential and some talent. I mean, he's a knockout artist. He's won all of his fights by KO. And it's not all just standing up and knocking people out. He gets people to the ground a lot of times, and he'll do ground and pound, and he's able to finish fights there as well. So he mixes in some wrestling, and he has knockout power in the feet, and like I said, just vicious ground and pound. So the guy definitely is a threat to a lot of heavyweights in the UFC if he could keep it up against the high-level competition. Now, Colombo might not fit that category as high-level competition because the guy, in my opinion, he's a savvy vet that's been around for a while. And is a tough out. I mean, he's hard to finish. He only has two losses, and both of those have come by submission. So I don't think Gomes subs him here. And that means Colombo's a little bit tough to knock out. And again, he's faced okay competition outside of the UFC. And then inside the UFC so far, I mean, Colombo hasn't really been amazing or anything, but, you know, he's hung in there and at least got a draw. And then, he lost to Henrique, when he got submitted in his last fight. But outside of that, I think Colombo's just one of those guys that's going to always, try to be in the fight, push the pace a little bit on you. He's just hard to get rid of. So if you start to fade, Colombo can start to come back and make life miserable on you. So that's the question mark with Gomes, because all of his fights have ended in the first round. So what this comes down to, can Gomes get rid of Colombo early? And he's a knockout artist, and Colombo really has a pretty solid chin overall. I don't know. It's a head scratcher to me, because if Gomes doesn't finish in round one, I'm worried about his cardio. He did take this fight on short notice, and maybe Colombo can pull off a victory in round two or three, or even if it goes all the way to cards, it probably is advantage Colombo at that point. So I'm not going to pick Colombo because I think Gomes has more upside, and I think he does win this fight again. It's a winnable fight for him. It's just, can he step up enough here and get the W like he should? So at the price right now, -225, there's no way I would lay the juice. There's just too many question marks around Gomes. But as far as a pure pick goes, I think you have to go that way. Because again, I mean, it's not like Colombo is just a beast anywhere. I think he's okay, solid. He's tough, a tough out, but he's just not overly impressive either. So I think Gomes probably does win this fight. So the pick is Gomes to win.
Gomes Colombo is an intriguing fight because it's a guy who's completely untested in Gomes, taking on somebody who's been tested and has looked like crap in Colombo. So, I mean, who are you really going to side with here? I mean, Colombo has looked very bad in both of his UFC fights. I mean, Yaristano has clearly proven he doesn't belong in the UFC, but Colombo somehow had a draw against him in his UFC debut. And then in his last fight, yeah, Colombo hung around there a little bit, but he eventually did get finished by Henrique. So this is just a tricky fight because Gome, I don't think he's faced anyone that has even won a fight in their career yet. He's 5-0, has quick finishes against a bunch of bums in Brazil, and he's stepping into this fight on short notice. Now, Colombo is not a guy the UFC's looking to build. He's not somebody that is really overall that impressive, but the guy that they were originally matching Colombo against got popped by USADA for some steroids. So they decided to bring in Gome, and it's possible that Gome can pull this out. I mean, this guy, he has the physique for a heavyweight. He has power. He's a good athlete. It's just he's really raw, and we just don't know how he's going to look when he faces somebody that maybe he can't knock out right away. And I'm not saying he can't knock out Colombo. Colombo hasn't exactly faced heavy hitters that are really good strikers yet. So maybe Gome could overwhelm him. So this is a tricky fight because, Gome might be able to just go in there and steamroll Colombo, but if he tries and fails, Colombo might just be able to take over. So I'm definitely exercising caution here. I'm going to pick Gome just because I have not been impressed by anything I've seen out of Colombo thus far. And Colombo's, you know, getting older and he just, again, is not that impressive overall. So I'm leaning Gome, but this is a true question mark fight. There are just way too many intangibles here that are and unknowns, to really be confident either way. But my pick is going to be Gome. Now headlining the Fight Pass prelims is a very intriguing flyweight battle as Davison Figueiredo, who is 12-0, takes on Jared Brooks, who is 13-0. Now Nick, what's the MMA oddsmaker's perspective on this one?
I opened Brooks -190, the comeback on Figueiredo at +150. Right now, looking over at five times, it's actually Brooks -165, the comeback on Figueiredo at +145. So line margins have tightened up a little bit. There is two-way action coming into this fight. Man, this is a tough fight. I mean, Figueiredo, I was really impressed with his UFC debut. I think he looked good. I mean, he's more known. He's a complete fighter, but in many ways, I think he's more known for his knockout power than anything else. But again, he does have some submissions. He does have a good ground game to go along with it. I mean, the guy is a threat and he's a finisher anywhere the fight takes place. Make no mistake about it. But to me, it's one of those things that if he stays up on the feet, he might not be the most aggressive at time. I think he actually needs to pick up the pace a little bit. But that being said, all he needs is one clean punch and you're in some serious trouble. I mean, that's the kind of knockout power Figueiredo has. And again, on the ground, he does go after it. He's a finisher. So I think that there's a lot of upside to Figueiredo and he's facing a guy, another undefeated prospect in Brooks, where is a tough matchup. I mean, for both these guys, this is a fight. I mean, Brooks actually, in my opinion, he disappointed a little bit in his UFC debut. I mean, it wasn't exactly an easy fight for him because I think that Shelton is severely underrated. I mean, I think Shelton is one of the better flyweights on the UFC roster, believe it or not. And he's going to be the type of guy that keeps on improving. And I think eventually will prove me right. But it was a close fight. Brooks could have lost that fight, even on the scorecards. The judges decided to go Brooks's way. I mean, you can't really argue it. It was a close competitive fight. And again, over a good competitor. So it wasn't like Brooks was fighting a can there. But still, I mean, with all the hype, with all the potential that a lot of people thought Brooks had, I think he's still disappointed a little bit. So this is not an easy fight for him. I mean, he's going to, after facing Shelton, he's got another tough fight in Brazil that could realistically be just as tough as the Shelton fight for him here. So, I mean, it all depends on what kind of pace Brooks is able to push and maintain. Figueiredo, in my opinion, with all the compliments I just gave him, he does have some flaws. It's defensively, he does have some flaws. I mean, he's so wild in his aggression sometimes. When he does decide to put his foot on a pedal, that he leaves openings and he is hittable. And at times he does get, you know, nailed and he has a pretty solid chin. He hasn't been knocked out yet, but you know, you don't want to see any fighter have that kind of defensive flaw. So Brooks might be able to take advantage of that. Also, Brooks obviously is a better wrestler in this spot as well. So he could be able to get some takedowns along the way. Just got to be careful to not get caught in any kind of guillotine choke from Figueiredo. So this is going to be, I think, a coin flip type of fight. If it hits the scorecards and it's in Brazil, who knows the way the judges are going to go. So this is definitely a dog or pass situation, in my opinion. But I still am going to lean a little bit more towards Brooks because I think he is the more complete fighter. I think that Figueiredo will give him opportunities along the way that Brooks can capitalize on. and probably sneak out a decision win in Brazil. So that's the way I'm going to go with this. But again, I'm not real confident in it because Figueiredo is legit, and I wouldn't be surprised if he pulls off this slight upset win over Brooks. But in my opinion, Brooks is just going to edge him out a little bit. So my pick is going to be Brooks. But again, this is another spot. I mean, from all the fights here on out, make sure you guys check out MMA Oddsbreaker staff picks. On fight day, we release our staff picks, and that's where our official picks are going to be posted. But as of right now, I lean towards Brooks.
Personally, I don't view Jared Brooks as being the more well-rounded fighter than Figueiredo. What he does have is pretty good wrestling. I mean, he picked up 5 takedowns in his UFC debut, which was a split decision win over Eric Shelton. And that was not a gimme fight. I mean, Shelton fought him tooth and nail, and that was close. So I honestly came away not that impressed with Jared Brooks, to be honest. Figueiredo, on the other hand, he looked like a beast in his UFC debut. He came in, he got takedowns, he was aggressive on the feet, he landed elbows, he landed good punches, he worked for submissions against Marco Beltran, and he ended up taking him out and getting a doctor stoppage at the end of the second round. So I honestly think that Figueiredo is clearly the more dangerous fighter of the two, but Brooks does have better wrestling. So that is always something that you can fall back on, even if you aren't as well-rounded as Figueiredo is. I think Brooks might be able to neutralize some of Figueiredo's strengths if he can get takedowns and keep top position. That definitely is a concern, but Figueiredo has a pretty good ground game as well, and he has a 6-inch advantage in reach. I mean, he could do some damage on the feet when he gets his opportunities. Brooks is dangerous with the wrestling, but I think that's just all he's got for personally. And if Figueiredo is not easy to hold down, if he's able to get back up, I think he can really dish out some pain against Brooks during those moments on the feet. So personally, I think this is a better matchup for Figueiredo. And I think the underdog has a very clear shot to win this fight. It's just all about whether or not he can avoid being put on his back repeatedly and then being kept on his back. And if he can do that, I think Figueiredo has a great shot. So I'm actually going to side with the Brazilian here in Figueiredo. Now, moving on to the Fox Sports 2 prelims, we have a welterweight contest. Elizu Zelensky dos Santos, who is 17-5, and Max Griffin, who is 13-3. Now, Nick, where did you open this fight, and how has the public shifted things so far?
I've been Zelensky dos Santos at -210, the comeback on Finn at +160. Right now, looking over 5 dimes, it's Zelensky at -220, the comeback on Griffin at +180. So line margins have tightened up a little bit, and there is two-way action coming into this fight. A little bit more parlay love coming in towards Zelensky, of course, as well. I think it's a fair line, and that's being said, I think Griffin's actually a pretty solid fighter, and I think that he's starting to get more confidence, obviously, after he had a pretty impressive outing in his last fight. I mean, he even got on a mic afterwards and was saying, hey, this is what I'm really like. This is what I'm about. I mean, you're going to see more of this moving forward. I hope that's the case for Griffin because, again, he's a pretty well-rounded fighter overall, and I think he is a very solid addition to the welterweight roster. But I've been more impressed overall with Zelensky so far. I mean, I think that Zelensky he's one of these guys that's been, again, around for a little while on the Brazilian scene. He's, you know, finally gets his shot to come over to the UFC, and he does not get favorable matchups for him. I mean, especially at first, you would think, because, I mean, he faced some decent competition. Akhmedov at one point was actually a worthy opponent, a respectable opponent that was kind of a tough out. He was able to get that win over Akhmedov. And then Nakamura on the ground, I mean, as we've seen, I mean, the guy is just, he's not the flashiest fighter, but he gets it done. I mean, his ground game, his stand-up's actually improving as well. Nakamura doesn't seem like he's a very dangerous or tough out, but he is. And getting a win over a guy like that's very solid. And then backing that up with a win over Lyman Good, I think Lyman Good is a very solid welterweight as well. No easy out. I mean, that was a good competitive fight back and forth, but Zelensky was able to get a solid win over Good. So in my opinion, he's getting better fight by fight. That's why I'm bringing those guys up, and I think that's going to continue here even against Griffin. I think this is not really a huge step up for Zelensky, but it might be for Griffin in this spot in the UFC. So it's both these guys are well-rounded. I mean, these guys are going to stand and bang a little bit. These guys are going to go for takedowns back and forth as well. But make no mistake, it's going to be, I think, Zelensky that's going to be able to control a little bit more of the action, and he's going to be able to edge this one out. I don't think he stops Griffin. I mean, he could, because I am impressed with Zaleski's power on the feet and his ability to mix things up. I mean, he does have clean technique as well, but I think more so than anything, it probably ends up being a control type of fight where Zaleski dictates the pace of the fight on the feet, gets some takedowns along the way possibly as well, and then just kind of edges out a close competitive type of decision over Griffin. So much respect to Griffin, but I think Zaleski probably keeps his momentum going and gets another win here.
Max Griffin is definitely dangerous. This guy has a lot of power on the feet, and if he clips Zaleski dos Santos, he could put him out. That being said, I've been very impressed with Eliza Zaleski dos Santos so far in his UFC run. His last three fights, all wins, have been rock solid, and he's been picking them up against all different types of opponents. I mean, you look, and Nakamura is more of a grappler, and he was able to get back up after being taken down and outwork him on the feet. Omari Akhmedov, another wrestler, and he outlasted him and then got a finish late in the fight. And then Lyman Good, he earns a split decision against a pretty good striker by mixing in takedowns and then also outworking him on the feet. So, you know, this is a guy that is a dangerous fighter that can mix things up. I mean, absolutely one of the more well-rounded guys on the card. Zaleski dos Santos has solid grappling, solid defensive grappling. He has good striking, and he can get back up when taken down. So, I mean, if this stays standing, he might be able to just outwork Max Griffin, who is probably going to be a little bit more focused on the big single power shots trying to take him out. So if Griffin doesn't knock Zaleski dos Santos out, Zaleski dos Santos will probably just outwork him and win a decision. And if Griffin does get some things going on the feet, I wouldn't be shocked to see Zaleski dos Santos maybe look for a takedown or something. I mean, this guy is just an overall rock-solid fighter. And Griffin, I just view as a little bit more one-dimensional. And if you looked at his UFC debut, granted it was against Colby Covington, who's an elite wrestler, but he completely got neutralized in that fight. And yeah, Griffin looked great in his last fight, but I think if Zaleski doesn't get knocked out, I think it's going to be really tough sledding for Griffin. So my lean is definitely Zaleski dos Santos as well. And you can't also knock the fact that it is in Brazil and you got a Brazilian with the Brazilian judges and the Brazilian crowd. It could definitely be in his favor. Now, dropping down to the lightweight division, we have Hakran Diaz, who is 23-5-1, taking on Jared Gordon, who is 13-1. Now, Nick, what's the MMA oddsmaker's perspective on this one?
I happen Gordon -170, the comeback on Diaz at +130. Right now, looking over at fivedimes.eu, it is currently Gordon -165. Diaz is at +145. So line margins just have tightened up. There is two-way action on this fight as well. Interesting fight. I mean, this is definitely a spot where I think is a good test and a good win for either fighter here will take them a long way. I mean, Diaz is fighting at 155 pounds right now, which is more of Gordon's weight class, obviously. So that's an interesting thing. Maybe the weight cut's going to get better be a better thing for Diaz. I mean, he might perform a little bit better. I don't think it was a huge issue for him anyway, but he was a big featherweight, obviously. So I think he won't be a tiny lightweight, but that being said, again, maybe he's more comfortable. Maybe he'll have a little bit more energy to roll into this fight. So there's a lot of question marks on that alone, for Diaz. But truthfully, for me, I've been more impressed with what I've seen from Gordon. I mean, in my opinion, when I studied Gordon's footage and, you know, before he made his, UFC debut, I was impressed with him, but I thought, there was nothing special about him I thought that he was just going to come into UFC, maybe be around a 500 fighter or so. And he faced a very tough opponent and a guy like Quinones. I thought Quinones was going to give him all he can handle. In fact, I picked Quinones to beat Gordon in that fight. And Gordon just impressed me. I mean, he surprised me. He fought better than I seen on footage. It looked like he was really prepared to make his UFC debut. He was a hungry fighter and he put a clinic on. I mean, especially, you know, as the fight progressed a little bit against Quinones. I mean, I haven't seen anybody do that to Quinones. So to me, Gordon impressed. And if that Gordon shows back up here against Diaz, Diaz is some serious trouble. Diaz is a hard guy to finish. He's faced a lot of solid competition right now. I mean, throughout his UFC career. So it's not like you could just go in there and submit Diaz, or you can't go in there and just knock the guy out. I mean, he's faced a really tough roster so far. So I don't think you know, Gordon's going to be able to just run him over. But that being said, I mean, skill set for skill set, I think Gordon does have several advantages, and aggression is one. I mean, he's going to be the one pushing the pace. I think overall the striking might be competitive at times, but I think Gordon is a little bit heavier of a puncher in this spot as well. The wrestling will neutralize each other out a little bit. Diaz likes to go for those takedowns. He has a little bit of an underrated wrestling game, but I think Gordon's takedown defense and and his wrestling will actually come into play here as well and probably keep the fight upright for him, and he'll end up being the aggressor, the more powerful puncher on the feet, and I think that will sway the judges for sure because he's going to land a little bit more consistently. So I think this fight does probably tend to take place in all areas despite both guys having decent takedown defense. I mean, I'm sure we'll see a takedown or a couple attempts along the way. We'll see the fight play out against the cage. We'll see it play out in the center of the octagon. But regardless of where the fight takes place, I do give the edge to Gordon. I think truly, I mean, he's getting better fight by fight now that he's actually has his UFC debut out of the way, and it was a successful one to say the least. I think he's going to, even though it's in enemy territory here in Brazil, he's going to perform well here as well, and I think he's going to come to fight like he can fight, and he's going to probably pull off the win. So this is a good spot for him because if Gordon can pick off Diaz, even though he's a featherweight moving up, I think it's still impressive enough that it really does a lot of good things for his career moving forward. So I just think Gordon is just going to be the aggressor here. He's going to push the higher pace overall. And I think he's just going to be a little bit more dangerous all over the cage in this spot here. So I'm going to pick Gordon to win. I think he's going to have his successful debut in Brazil against a very game fighter in Diaz.
I was incredibly impressed by what I saw in Jared Gordon in his UFC debut. Now, he came out there just like a bat out of hell in that second round and just took the fight to his opponent, ended up getting that second round stoppage. And Hakran Diaz has been a guy that has really lost a lot of momentum. I mean, he was at one point considered one of the best prospects in all of MMA, training out of Nova União, and then he entered top 15 status in the UFC's featherweight division and just wasn't quite able to take off. He lost four of his last six fights, all decisions. Everything's been decisions. Let me double check. I don't think he's ever had a fight that didn't go to decision for the most part in his UFC run. So, it's just been a really disappointing time for Hakran Diaz. And then he hasn't fought in a full year now. So, and now he's moving up a weight class after not having fought in a year. He's now in his early 30s. He's lost all his momentum. I just don't think a weight class change is going to just solve all of his problems of inactivity, lack of power, lack of finishing ability. And his biggest strength, wrestling, is also a pretty good strength of Jared Gordon. So with what we saw out of Gordon in his UFC debut, if he can just bring that same tenacity that he brought in that second round, then I think that he's going to be in really good shape. I mean, this guy is a killer when he really turns it on a little bit. I mean, Michel Quinones is a really tough fighter, and he just took him out. So, Jared Gordon, if he can be as aggressive as he was both in pursuing takedowns and in just going after him on the feet. I mean, he has a good chance of just overwhelming Diaz. I mean, we've seen Diaz get staggered a little bit in recent fights. You know, Cub Swanson had him hurt a little bit. So I wouldn't be shocked if Gordon, with it being over a year since Diaz has fought and him trying out a new weight class and taking on a really aggressive fighter, I wouldn't be shocked to see Gordon being the first guy to finish Diaz. So my pick is going to be Jared Gordon as well. Now, moving up to the middleweight division, we have Antonio Carlos Jr., who is 9-2 with one no contest, taking on Jack Marshman, who is 22-6. Now, Nick, where did you open this fight, and how has the public shifted things so far?
Up in Carlos Jr. -300, the comeback on Marshman at +220. Right now looking over at Five Dimes, it is actually Carlos Jr. -500, the comeback on Marshman at +400. So needless to say, Carlos Jr. got bet up. Not much love for Marshman out there as well. Now a lot of parlay action, especially Five Dimes coming in on Carlos Jr. as well, because looking at the market price at this fight right now, there is some -400s out there To go along with it. So you could get the price varying. I mean, depending on what sports book you look at. But right now, again, with the parlay action, everything is going on at dimes. It is minus 500 for Carlos Jr. against Marshman. So that being said, I think stylistically, it's an interesting fight. But I mean, obviously you got to give the edge to Carlos Jr. in this spot. That's why he's a solid favorite. I opened him that way and he got bet up that way as well. Carlos Jr. has the capability and the ability, obviously, on the ground to finish fights. So his wrestling is actually improving and getting better. And he's becoming a more complete fighter. Even his stand-up's getting a little bit better as well. But he does not want to play the stand-up game against a guy like Marshman. If he ends up staying on the feet with Marshman is going to be the one landing the heavier blows. He's going to be the one that is definitely a threat to get the knockout win here. Marshman does have some flaws, and one of them is on the ground, honestly. He's been put on his back on several occasions throughout his career against lesser fighters, and he's had some difficulties there. Now, he's never been submitted. So that's one thing that Marshman has going for him over a guy like Carlos Jr. because, I mean, that's obviously what Carlos Jr. is going to try to do. So maybe Marshman could survive and not get submitted in this spot as well. But even if he does survive, I think Carlos Jr. still controls enough the fight to end up pulling off the victory here against a guy like Marshman. So I do think the line's a little bit overinflated right now. I mean, I think Marshman's better than a 5-1 dog in this spot. But that being said, stylistically how they match up, I think that Carlos Jr. is going to do his thing. He knows his path to victory here, especially against a striker, and he's going to get the job done. So it's hard not to pick Carlos Jr. here, but there's no way I would bet it at this price. So at this spot here, if you guys are looking for something to bet or throw in a parlay, just avoid it. I mean, people are just asking for a bad beat here with Marshman. He has faced grapplers in the past, and he's actually fared okay against them as well, so even in the UFC so far. So this is a different level of a grappler, but I still think that it's not worth a play here. So the pick is Carlos Jr. to win, but stay away from it as far as the bet goes.
Carlos Jr. is a very well-rounded middleweight, but the problem is he can just be inconsistent at times. I mean, the Kelly loss is just flabbergasting to me. The fact that he was dominating that fight and then just kind of rolled over and gave it up. So that is always something that's in the back of my mind, and it will always prevent me from thinking Carlos Jr. could really be a legit contender in the division. But that being said, when he's on, I mean, he's very dangerous. I mean, this guy has power, he has strength, he has size, being a former at least light heavyweight and has competed as high as heavyweight on The Ultimate Fighter, and he has excellent ground game. So when things are rolling with Carlos Jr., I mean, he looks like a world beater. But Jack Marshman is a guy that, as Nick mentioned, has had some success against some grapplers. I mean, his UFC debut against Magnus Seidenblad got 3 takedowns and was really being aggressive trying to work him over on the canvas, but Marshman repeatedly got back to his feet and then ended up earning a second round knockout. His last fight, Ryan James, is basically a purely ground fighter with a little bit of boxing, and Marshman didn't get taken down once and was able to just outwork him and win a decision. So if Carlos Jr. doesn't get takedowns, Marshman might be able to just push the pace on the feet and outwork him. That being said, Carlos Jr. does have a 6-inch reach advantage on the feet. He's a little bit taller. He's a little bit longer in all areas. So he might be able to get something going on the feet as well, but I mean, the biggest strength clearly is on the ground. I mean, Carlos Jr. is very dangerous on the ground. He's physical. He works for submissions. He works for ground and pound, and he has a pretty good takedown accuracy of 45%. So with Marshman being taken down 3 times by Magnus Seidenblad, I would think that Antonio Carlos Jr. should be able to get him on the floor when he wants to. So I'm going to side with Carlos Jr., but I will never forget that loss to Dan Kelly when he just ran out of steam and Kelly just smashed him. So there's always the chance that Marshman turns this around on him, but my pick is going to be Antonio Carlos Jr. this time around. Now, dropping down to the welterweight division for the main event of the preliminary card, we have Vicente Luque, who is 11-6-1. Taking on Nico Price, who is 10-0 with 1 no contest. Now, Nick, what's the MMA oddsmaker's perspective on this one?
Up in Luque, minus 170, the comeback on Price at plus 130 right now, looking over 5 dimes. It's minus 125 for Luque. The comeback on Price is at plus 105. So early action coming in Price's way as an underdog. Price is really done some good things so far in the UFC. I mean, even though he hasn't looked the greatest at times, I mean, he's definitely a finisher. He's an aggressive fighter that is a threat, whether it's on the ground or standing up, as he's proven time and time again. Especially, I think he's more of a threat, honestly, on the feet than anything else. But he's a little sloppy in his aggression at times. And I think that, I mean, obviously he's hittable. If you look at his fight against Joban, I mean, he looked great because he was able to finish that fight early. But the previous fight before that against Moreno, he actually didn't look so good. Moreno was winning that fight, and then obviously he ended up getting that crazy KO win right at the end of the bell round two. So he got the victory there. But Moreno exposed Price a little bit in that fight, I think. And Luque, in my opinion, is such a complete fighter. There's no question that Luque is the better fighter of the two when it comes down to these guys. But, I mean, he's just a little bit more well-rounded. Not that Price is not, but I think he's cleaner. He's more of the technician. I think he's more of a knockout threat on the feet. I think he's obviously got better subs to go along with it as well. So Luque is the better fighter, and I think this is going to be a very interesting challenge for a guy like Price. But that being said, Luque does have some flaws in his own right. I think Luque does tend to slow down as the fight goes on if he can't obviously get the win early, which he's capable more times not to do so. But if it progresses, he does tend to slow down, and that could cost him. I mean, it's cost him in the past before some close decisions, and it could possibly cost him here. He can't really afford to slow down. But that being said, you know, this is a short notice fight, so Luque's conditioning could be come into question here, and he could slow down even more. But I still, it's hard not for me to pick Luque in this spot, even though Price has looked pretty good and he's ultra dangerous, like I said. I just think that, I mean, across the board, Luque just has him beat, I mean, in almost every area. So I'm going to pick Luque to win. He just has to be careful, and he doesn't give Price openings that he's looking for to finish the fight, because Price is that kind of dangerous fighter. But I think Luque is tough, even though he is hittable. His chin seems to hold up pretty well, and I think overall, like I said, he's just a little bit more complete. So at -125 at this spot, it probably is a favorite or pass situation. I think that people are underestimating Luque a little bit here, but that being said, again, I understand what kind of respect and why people are betting Price, because he has looked good, and it just seems like one of those matchups where you get Price a win here over another solid vet like Luque. I mean, it goes a long way for him, so I get it, but I don't agree with it. I think Luque is actually going to win this fight.
Yeah, this is an intriguing battle. I mean, yeah, Luque is taking this fight on short notice, but it'll be about a little over three weeks by the time the fight actually takes place. He stepped in around October 6th. The fight's taking place on the 28th. I'm feeling okay about Vicente Luque's preparation, especially with him being a Brazilian native. This is taking place in Brazil. I know he trains in Florida, but still. So I'm feeling okay about Luque. I don't think he's going to show up and gas and just run out of steam. Nico Price is a guy where you watch him fight, and yeah, he's been dangerous, and he's picked up stoppages in his last three fights. Granted, the one got overturned, but still, even with three straight stoppages over decent opposition, he still looks sloppy. It's crazy. He's wild and aggressive and over-aggressive with his striking game. You know, there's really nothing that impressive about his ground game. So unless he just swings crazy and clips Luque, I think Luque is going to be in excellent position. I mean, Luque is a solid, crisp, technical striker, and Luque has a very dangerous ground game. So where is Price really going to have a big advantage here? I mean, Luque has shown a pretty good chin, so even if Price is swinging crazy and hits him, I think Luque can survive it. So, you know, unless Price clips him and then just keeps hitting him and then is able to take him out, I think it's going to be very difficult for Price to win a decision. So unless Price knocks him out, Luque should win either a decision. He might win by knockout if he is able to just out-technique Price and land the better strikes over the course of three rounds. Or he might be able to pull off a submission, because I do think he clearly has the better ground game as well. So overall, I just think Vicente Luque is by far the better fighter of the two, and I expect him to pull out the victory here. So my pick is going to be Luque. Now, kicking off the Fox Sports 1 main card, we have a bantamweight contest between John Lineker, who is 29-8, and Marlon Chito Vera, who is 10-3-1. Now, Nate, where did you open this fight, and how has the public shifted things so far?
Up at Lineker, -315. The comeback on Vera, +235. Right now over five dimes, it's -550 for Lineker, +425 on Vera. Now, again, across the market, as far as the Don Best screen goes, there's still some 400s out there. There's 440s, 450s. So the price is under 550 out there. So it depends, again, where you market shop a little bit, what kind of line you get. And in another spot where five dimes is getting heavy, heavy parlay action on Lineker. Again, they're the number one parlay book by far out there. So as to be expected. Now, that being said, this is an interesting matchup. I mean, obviously Lineker should be a solid favorite here. I opened him that way and the public bet it up a little bit more. I was going to open him a tad bit higher, 350, 400. But that being said, I think Vera stylistically is an interesting matchup for him. I mean, Lineker's looked like a beast. I mean, against everybody outside of TJ Dillashaw as of late, pretty much. So I think he can handle Vera rather easily if he wants, but Vera does present some problems. I mean, he has some length over Lineker. Vera does have some skill, and he is getting better fight by fight. I think he's the kind of guy that's gaining a little bit of confidence. Obviously, I mean, he's had a couple quality wins as of late. They've been pretty impressive. That's only mentally going to make him better. And then obviously on social media recently as well, he's the one that's saying, hey, I want this fight. I know Lineker's a tough guy, but you know, I could beat him. I want this, you know, type of matchup. So he's going in with the right attitude. I don't know if that's going to help him at all in this spot, but I mean, coming off wins against Kelleher and Pickett, again, his confidence should be at an all-time high right now. And Vera, what you get with him is a pretty complete fighter in several ways because he isn't bad on the feet. He's got some striking ability. His kicking game, I'm impressed with as well. Outside of that, on the ground, he's got some sneaky good subs as well. I mean, I think if you're cautious and you understand what you're getting into with Vera, you can kind of get away with not getting obviously knocked out or submitted. So I think Lineker is smart enough, and I think he's probably going to push a high enough pace that it's going to be tough for Vera to get Lineker down on the ground. If anything, Lineker probably gets top position on Vera, which again, he has to be cautious with. And I think Lineker, I mean, everybody pretty much he's faced throughout his UFC career at times has had longer reach than him as well. So it's not like he hasn't seen this type of, I guess, reach advantage before, or disadvantage, I should say, for him. So to me, Lineker is going to be Lineker. I mean, he's got a granite chin. He likes to push forward and throw bombs the entire time. There was some question marks about his cardio, but as of late, again, that seems to be addressed as well. So I think Lineker is in a good spot here. I think it's going to be hard for Vera to beat him. But again, at 5-1 at that price, there's no way you touch it. I think Vera is dangerous enough that, I mean, you're just asking for another bad beat here if you're going crazy on Lineker at the price of 5-1 or so. So stay away from it where the line is now. But as far as a pure pick go, there's no question. Lineker should win this fight. I think Vera, it's just too big of a step up for him. I mean, Lineker is one of these guys, bantamweight, whether it was flyweight. I mean, he's kind of towards the top of the food chain in title contention all the time. He's going to be in the mix there. So Vera's not quite that type of fighter. I mean, we'll see how good he gets. He's only 24 years old, so maybe he improves, you know, keeps on improving enough that potentially he gets there, but he's not there right now. But Lineker kind of is, in my opinion. So the pick is Lineker to win, and probably, well, I don't want to say probably by finish, because I think Vera's tough enough that he might just get beat on the cards, but wouldn't be surprised if there's a finish along the way as well. But the pick is Lineker.
I'll be very straightforward with this. I think John Lineker destroys Marlon Vera. Vera has definitely improved in his UFC run. I mean, he's picked up a couple quality finishes of late, but I mean, John Lineker is such a massive step up for him. And the people that beat Lineker are the ones that can out-technique him, the guys that can maybe get takedowns against him, the guys with some length. And Vera just doesn't have any of that. He's only got 3 inches in reach. He isn't any more technical of a striker than Lineker, and he doesn't hardly have any takedown ability, at least in comparison to Lineker. I don't think he gets him down once. So this is just going to be a really tough night for Marlon Vera. John Lineker has a tremendous chin, so I don't see Vera hurting him, and I don't see Vera getting a submission because I don't doubt Lineker would be looking to pursue takedowns and fall into a triangle choke or something. I just think Lineker tries to knock his block off for 3 rounds, and he either knocks his block off and gets a stoppage, or he just wins an easy decision from trying to knock Vera's head off for 3 rounds. So plain and simple, this is John Lineker's fight to lose, and I expect him to be victorious. Now, moving up to the middleweight division, we have Thiago Santos, who is 15-5, taking on Jack Hermanson, who is 16-3. Now, Nick, what's the MMA oddsmaker's perspective on this one?
I've been Santos -150 to come back on Hermanson at +110 right now over five times. Hermanson -125 Santos plus 105. So line did flip. People were going nuts on Hermanson early on. This is tough, man. For me, Santos is always a tough spot to open. Obviously, the last couple lines have been kind of shaky with the lines I've set on Santos, and it's for a reason. I mean, the guy is definitely a threat on the feet. There's no question about that. I mean, he's a heavy hitter. He's got length. He's got power. He's getting better with his takedown defense. So the guy is just a devastating striker that can – it could really – I mean, put it on fighters that can't get him to the ground and kind of expose his weakness a little bit. That being said, Hermanson is probably one of those guys that can do so. That's why everybody's coming in on Hermanson as well. I mean, how Hermanson typically wins his fights is getting some takedowns, getting the fight to the floor. And then once on the floor, I mean, evident in his last fight against Scott, which I was surprised that he disposed of Scott that quick and early, because I think Scott's a little bit better than that. But hey, that being said, Scott's had some difficulties on the ground, throughout his career. So nothing shocking now, but I mean, Hermanson was impressive in that fight. Not just that fight. He was able to do that to Nicholson as well. So he has a path to victory over most people. And a lot of times it's getting the fight to the floor and just doing what he does best. He also has some submission ability to go along with it. But more so than anything, I think it's going to be Hermanson looking to take the fight to the ground and getting superior position and then dropping bombs on Santos. Now, is he going to accomplish that? I'm not sure. I think Santos has shown, I mean, at least in spurts, that his takedown defense is good enough to maintain upright. And if it is, he's going to have the advantage over Hermanson. So I think he's going to be the one that's doing the damage on the feet along the way. And it is in Brazil again. Not that it's going to come into play here too much, because I think there probably is a finish either way in this spot. So it's, you know, we might not need the judges in this fight, but if it hits the cards and it's a competitive decision, then you might want to say that the judges might lean a little bit more towards the hometown guy in Santos. But again, that's a big if. So for me, I guess I'll go against the grain overall, the public grain that everybody's picking Hermanson. I'm just not sold on him quite yet. I know the guy has some skill. He's got some ability, and he's going to continue to improve, but I think I'm a little bit more impressed with Santos' improvement the last couple of years than anything else. I think it's more legit and it's more real. So I'm going to go his way. Slight lean towards Santos getting the W.
Yeah, this is definitely a tricky matchup because Hermanson, you know, he entered the UFC with a bit more of a reputation as a striker, but striking has not quite been his strong suit in the UFC. It's been his ability to get fighters to the floor and beat them up. His last two fights have been incredibly impressive, taking down some pretty tough guys and then just obliterating them on the canvas with ground and pound. So if he can get Thiago Santos on his back, he's going to be in a great position to win his third fight in a row in the UFC. That being said, Thiago Santos knows what Hermanson wants to do, and he's faced multiple people that want to take him down. I mean, sometimes they're effective, like Musashi got him down and beat him up, and Eric Spicely got him down and submitted him, but a lot of times they're not effective. I mean, look at his most recent fight against Gerald Meerschaert. Meerschaert repeatedly looked for takedowns, got brief takedowns, and then Santos fought them off, got back to his feet, and then knocked him out. I was really impressed with Thiago Santos' performance in his last fight because Meerschaert is a savvy, solid veteran. And then when Thiago Santos is able to fend off takedowns, he looks really nasty. I mean, look at his performance against Elias Theodoro. Theodoro just repeatedly was looking for takedowns, and Santos was able to fend them off and then just clearly outstrike him over the course of three rounds to win an upset decision. So Santos is a guy where if he's able to stay standing against opponents that he feels he has a striking advantage against, then he's going to look really good. So if Santos can keep this standing and not be put down his back and not eat a bunch of ground and pound, then Santos is going to win. Hermanson is tough. He's strong, but he's not the greatest wrestler. So, I mean, if Santos can just avoid the takedowns, then he's going to be in really good shape. And this is in Brazil. So I'm leaning Thiago Santos. It's just all about whether or not Hermanson can get the takedowns, because I don't see Hermanson hanging with Santos on the feet. So my pick is going to be Thiago Santos. Now dropping down to the lightweight division, we have Francisco Trinaldo, who is 21-5. Taking on Jim Miller, who is 28-10 with one no contest. Now, Nick, where did you open this fight, and how has the public shifted things so far?
Up in Trinaldo, minus 165, the comeback on Miller, plus 125. Right now looking over at five dimes. It's Trinaldo, minus 220, the comeback on Miller, plus 180. Again, market price out there, there's some 190s, minus 190s or so on the Don Best screen. So it depends on where you're looking. That being said, it's a tough line. It's a tough fight because I think Miller has shown that he's not as done as everybody thought, not, you know, a while back. I mean, most of us thought, man, you could see the decline is real in Miller. Then he bounces back. I mean, he suffered a couple back-to-back losses, but he was game in his fight against Poirier and even Pettis a little bit. So, and he's had a couple impressive wins, controversy over Lozon, it seems like every time with that, and then his win over Alves. So I think Miller has gotten back on track to the point where he can be a threat and he can beat most lightweights on the UFC roster. Now, this is a step up because Trinaldo is just not an ordinary lightweight. I mean, if you look at who he's defeated recently, I mean, it's been some top of the line competition for him for sure. In my opinion, Felder is a tough out. He's coming into his own right now. He's coming off a big win in his own right. That's a solid quality win to get under your camp. Medeiros is obviously a pretty decent win. Pearson, Laprise, all those guys. I mean, Trinaldo has faced some decent competition and he seemed to address some of the stuff in some of his flaws that he's had in the past as well, which was a little bit of cardio issues. His stamina has gotten better to the point where he can go three rounds pretty strong now, and not gas out after about a round or round and a half or so. And that was a problem, I think, early on in his UFC career, but he seems to have addressed that a little bit. And then, I mean, he's just such a complete fighter. Trinaldo is a beast on the feet. He's got knockout power. He's got knockout power in his hands and his feet, really. I mean, he throws some thunderous kicks to the body. He's capable of knocking you out that way as well. I mean, Trinaldo can get some wrestling going. He can get some takedowns. He's able to submit people as well. So he's just a very complete fighter. You can say a lot of the same about Miller. I just don't think Miller is as dangerous on the feet. And I think the takedown game back and forth here is going to be pretty interesting. It's going to be pretty much almost a scratch. I think both these guys have obviously some submission skill. Both these guys have the ability to wrestle and get takedowns and sprawl and brawl as well. So it's going to come down to, I think, who gets top position in this fight or who's just winning the stand-up battle if they can't get top position, because there's a likeliness that happens as well. So overall, I do lean Trinaldo. I think he's just a better striker. He could do a little bit more damage. If the Trinaldo towards the beginning of his UFC career shows up here and he starts gassing, Miller can win this fight. I mean, there's no question he could win it on the scorecards, but I have to think that Trinaldo, again, he's going to show up like he's looked as of late. I know he's coming off a loss to Kevin Lee. Kevin Lee is obviously, I mean, he just fought for the interim belt, so he's at the top of the food chain in the lightweight division right now. So that's a respectable loss for Trinaldo. And Miller has had his ups and downs, as we all know, recently as well. So I think Trinaldo's in a good spot right now where he should pick up a win over a game fighter like Miller. So the pick is Trinaldo. I think he pretty much, I mean, it's hard to stop Miller, but I think he pretty much grinds out a competitive but hard-fought battle against Miller and wins a three-round decision.
This is definitely an interesting fight, but I don't think the ground is that much of a wash. I mean, yeah, Trinaldo does pick up takedowns every once in a while, but Jim Miller is still extremely dangerous on the ground. If I'm Francisco Trinaldo, I don't even think about going to the ground, and I do whatever I can to avoid going to the ground. Miller is a competent boxer, but Trinaldo has been able to go out there and have competitive, victorious performances against a just who's who of solid, competent strikers in the UFC lightweight division. I mean, during his 7-fight win streak, Trinaldo had victories over on the feet pretty much against Leandro Silva, Chad Laprise, Ross Pearson, Yancy Medeiros, Paul Felder. I mean, those were all really impressive performances and against rock solid UFC lightweights. So the fact that he was able to do that, I think should give him some confidence. I know Jim Miller is a competent striker, but that's more just to round out his game. That's not his biggest strength. Miller can submit people very impressively. He has good arm bars. He has good heel hooks. I mean, if he gets on the floor in a good position against you, even if he's not in a good position against you, he can do things off his back. That is something you need to be aware of. So if I'm Francisco Trinaldo, I use my wrestling in reverse, keep this fight standing, and then just try to beat up Jim Miller and outwork him on the feet. Trinaldo does outpace Miller, and he's the more accurate striker. So, as long as Trinaldo is able to just outwork Miller on the feet and avoid going to the ground, I think he's going to be in a good position. If I'm for Trinaldo, I don't even go for a takedown because you might be diving into a guillotine choke or, you know, a triangle or something crazy that Jim Miller is going to throw at you, because, I mean, he is still a wily, savvy vet, and he can pull things out, and he has submitted guys that have a much better grappling acumen than Francisco Trinaldo. So, again, I think Trinaldo wins, but he only is going to win if he avoids the ground. So my pick is Trinaldo, but just stay off the mat with Jim Miller, please. Now moving on and dropping down to the bantamweight division, we have Pedro Munhoz, who is 14-2 with one no contest, taking on Rob Font, who is also 14-2. Now, Nick, what's the MMA oddsmaker's perspective on this one?
Up in Font, -150 to come back on Munhoz at +110. Right now, looking over five dimes, it is currently Font -155 to come back on Munhoz at +135. This line got as high as like 2-1. Everybody was coming in early on Font's way. I get it. I understand it. But now we're starting to see some action come back towards Munhoz, which I understand as well. This is a tough fight. I've been kind of going back and forth on this fight myself. The thing is here, I mean, Font does have a little bit of length as far as pure reach goes over a guy like Munhoz, and he is more well known for his striking ability and his knockout power than anything else here. So his takedown defense is good enough in most cases that he's able to keep the fight upright. And if that's the case, then he ends up, you know, obviously either knocking his opponent out or outpointing him to a 3-round decision. But he has been put on his back so far in the UFC, you know, at times. So I think that Munhoz is going to probably try to exploit that there. And then Munhoz, you can't count out his striking either. I think this guy is more known for his grappling skill, but he's a very complete fighter. I mean, if you look at Jimmy Rivera right now, what he's done, he's kind of climbed that ladder in bantamweight, and he's getting himself in a great spot where he's, you know, in the title contender mix here. And Munhoz gave Rivera his toughest challenge. That was a razor tight fight, and that, there was a lot of striking going on in that matchup as well. So Munhoz continues to get better in the striking game, and he's got a better ground game than Font. There's no question about that as well. So my curiosity is, can Munhoz get some takedowns to steal around into what should be a close competitive striking battle, even though Font has more pure knockout power? So that's why I've been kind of going back and forth on this fight. I think it's honestly the right price is basically a pick'em with a slight lean towards Font because of what I just mentioned here. But, I mean, as far as the dog value goes, there's no question in my mind that Munhoz has value on him as a dog, because I do think he can mix things up a little bit better. And if he's able to hang on the feet with Font and not just get blown out of the water, and again, mix in a takedown or two or some heavy pressure, and because Font does get a little bit inactive at times. I mean, we've seen that in the Lineker fight. I was surprised that Font was that inactive, though. I mean, he let Lineker just, I mean, make him look bad in that fight. But outside of that fight, it seems like, I mean, Font has been okay, his usual self, because that's what you expect out of Font. I mean, he goes out there and just beats everybody up and makes it look easy at times. So I get what the respect factor is with Font and the early action coming his way, and I get why people are betting the dog now with Munhoz as well, because it is a dog or pass situation in my mind. So I've been going back and forth with this. I guess I'll go against the grain a little bit here and pick Munhoz. I mean, just earlier today, I was actually leaning a little bit more towards Font, so that's the kind of fight it is. But I'll pick Munhoz, I think, here. He just has more ways to win. I mean, Font has to basically keep this fight upright, where I think Munhoz can steal a takedown or two possibly along the way and maybe win on the cards that way too. So the pick is Munhoz, but what should be a tremendous fight? It should be a war here, I'm expecting at least. So, and a side note, I mean, this is in Brazil again, so I think if it does hit the scorecards and it is a close competitive battle, then it's not necessarily going to hurt to be Brazilian in Munhoz's case. So I'm leaning Munhoz, I guess, to get the W here.
This is definitely a tricky fight. I mean, Pedro Munhoz is the more well-rounded of the two, but I would say Rob Font is the more dangerous striker. So, you know, how do you really stack this one up? I mean, if Munhoz can get this to the floor, I think he has a really good shot at winning, but Rob Font really hasn't faced a lot of good takedown artists, and he hasn't really shown much good takedown defense. So, I mean, the likelihood is there that Munhoz might be able to pull off the takedowns, but Rob Font is definitely a dangerous guy on the feet. I mean, this guy has big-time knockout power. So how this fight plays out is I think it's going to be competitive on the feet, with Rob Font getting the better of it and Rob Font possibly having the better chance of getting a knockout. And then if it goes to the floor, Pedro Munhoz will clearly have the better chance of pulling off a submission. On the feet, I think it'll be more competitive than it will be on the ground, because Munhoz is extremely dangerous on the canvas, while Munhoz is also pretty good on the feet. I mean, he's pulled off some knockouts, and he's had competitive fights against the likes of Jimmy Rivera, who's one of the top-ranked bantamweights in the world right now. So with Font, I mean, he has been taken down. You look at Douglas Silva de Andrade, got a couple takedowns against him. You look at Lineker got a takedown against him. Joey Gomez got a takedown against him. Now, he hasn't faced a real wrestler yet, and he hasn't really even, been attempted to take down. People haven't really even attempted to take him down that often. But it is a concern that he was taken down by some guys that weren't great wrestlers, because even though Pedro Munhoz isn't a great wrestler either, he does have the most dangerous ground game, I would say, of anyone that Fon has faced thus far. And you have to remember one other thing. Fon has spent his entire career fighting in Brazil, or fighting in the United States, except one. And that was when he went to Brazil to take on John Lineker, and he looked like a completely different fighter in that performance. I mean, he showed up and he just ate a couple shots early from Lineker, and then he got really inactive and passive, and he was basically just fighting scared for three rounds. He hasn't fought like that against anyone else ever since, but that is something you have to consider. I mean, he has stoppage victories in his other four UFC wins, but the one time that he left the United States, and basically the one time he faced somebody that is also a top 15 fighter, he did not perform. So that is something that clearly has to be in the back of your head heading into this contest. But that being said, Pedro Munhoz really has not had very good takedown ability. He's only at 23% so far in his MMA career or his UFC career. So if Rob Font can just fend those off, I think that he can win a competitive striking bout. So I'm actually going to side with Rob Font, although I'm definitely concerned about how he performs in his return to Brazil. Now moving on to the co-main event of the evening, we have Damian Maia, who is 25-7, taking on Colby Covington, who is 12-1. Now, Nick, where did you open this fight, and how has the public shifted things so far?
I opened Covington minus 140, the comeback on Maia, even money. Right now over five dimes, we're seeing Covington at minus 135, the comeback plus 115 on Maia. Earlier today, it was up to plus 160 around there or whatnot. It got bet up even higher at one point. So there's some back and forth steam coming in on this fight. I think the public action overall is on Covington. It seems like the sharper action is actually on Maia overall on this spot here as well. And I understand it. I get it. I mean, if you look at Damian Maia, at times he's just underrated, underestimated. A lot of people don't think. I mean, you look at his age, you look at his stand-up game isn't really the greatest, and he has to get the fight to the ground if he's going to win these fights. But, man, he's capable of doing so. I mean, if you look at – I mean, a similar matchup, kind of. I mean, you can't really compare Covington to Gunnar Nelson. But to me, I was on Nelson against Maia. I thought that Nelson would be able to kind of neutralize Maya's ground game and then win the stand-up battle against a guy like Maia as well. But we've seen that how difficult it is to really grapple with Damian Maia, even if you are a tremendous grappler like the likes of Nelson. So Covington better try to kind of sprawl and brawl in this fight, because if he tries to mingle on the ground with a guy like Maia, he's going to probably be in for a rude awakening. So in my opinion, that's what he needs to do here. And that's why I kind of opened him the slight favorite here. I knew that, again, the public would kind of be on Covington's side more so than anything else, because it was just the lack of disrespect Maia typically gets at times. But this is a tough fight. I mean, I don't know. I think that it's one that Maia does get to the ground. He can, like I said, he can beat Covington. Even if he's on the ground, I think he could reverse position, probably take Covington's back and then sink in the choke here. Covington has been subbed. Obviously, he got caught in a guillotine when he did get subbed. And Maia's not really known for his guillotine chokes. But that being said, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if that's the case here. So I've been kind of going back and forth on this fight as well, just like the last fight that we were talking about. But I'm going to lean slightly a little bit more towards Covington for a pick, only because, again, I think he can, if he fights smart and he's not really a dumb fighter, I think he can probably avoid the ground game and just kind of keep this fight upright, kind of use Woodley's path to victory over Maia. Even though Covington, I think, isn't as good of a striker as Woodley would be, I think he could kind of follow that blueprint and have a little bit of success against Maia. So if he stays upright, fights smart, Covington should be able to get the win here. I wouldn't lay it though. There's no way I would let in this matchup lay the juice. I wouldn't lay the chalk at all here. It's a dog or pass situation. So again, I understand why some of the sharper action is coming out of Maia, because I do believe that it's dog or pass. And if there's any value at all, it's probably Maya's way. So I'm going to pick Covington to win, slight edge his way, because if he fights smart, I think he can get the job done. But as far as the bet goes, it's definitely a dog or pass situation. So Covington, I guess, is my pick for right now. But again, another spot where we'll see how the weigh-ins play out. So check the staff picks on MMAOddsBreaker.com. We'll see how it goes.
This is a tough matchup, not because of like a guy having clear advantages over the other. It's just, how is Colby Covington going to respond? This is a guy that is on the rise big time. He's picked up quality wins, but I mean, this is a serious, serious test for him. Damian Maia is no joke. I mean, this guy taps people out, and he has tapped out really great wrestlers in his time as well. So if Colby Covington wants to win, I think he needs to avoid the ground at all costs, even though that's kind of been his bread and butter throughout his career up until like his last fight where he came out and was, you know, striking a lot more. So Covington, his stand-up has definitely improved. I mean, it's not elite by any stretch, but it's to the point where if he's facing somebody that is grappling focused, he should be able to win a decision if he can just avoid the ground by using his wrestling in reverse. For most of his UFC career, he was just taking people down, beating them up, and either winning a decision or maybe getting a stoppage. So this time around, absolutely Chuck Liddell style, wrestling in reverse, keep this fight standing, and then just try to beat Damian Maia up on the feet, outwork him. He shouldn't have too many issues on the feet against Maia. The main problem is just don't get caught in extended striking exchanges where you're leaving yourself exposed. Maybe you have a bad footwork. I mean, I highly doubt that Colby Covington is going to come in there and put on a striking clinic. So if he makes a misstep, gets off balance even a little bit, Maya's going to be all over him trying to close the distance and intertwine those legs and drag him to the floor. And then once he gets it to the ground, Maia is scary. So Covington just needs to, you know, it pains me to say it, but he needs to fight a little more boring if he really wants to safely defeat Maia. Like, you know, the Tyron Woodley fight was not fun to watch, but it was a smart game plan. If Woodley took big risks trying to knock Maya's head off, then he was going to leave himself exposed and get taken down and potentially submitted. So, you know, he basically just sat back and found very small openings to land occasional strikes to win a 5-round decision, without really risking much. And that's probably what Covington should do, because when Covington aggressively was pursuing a takedown against, you know, Warley Alves, he ended up getting tapped out. So he has been submitted by a guy with a decent submission ability, and that is a cause for concern. So if Covington avoids the ground, avoids any grappling exchanges, he clearly wins this fight. If he goes to the ground, there's always the possibility, because Maia is so dangerous. And if Maia puts him on his back, definitely I would be nervous. So I'm picking Covington, but the fact that he was submitted by Alves pretty easily, and the fact that he's not nearly as dangerous of a striker as, you know, somebody that has had more success against Maia, like a Woodley, definitely makes me nervous. But I'm picking Covington, but please be careful out there, especially if, you know, you're laying a lot of chalk. Now, this brings us to the main event of the evening. In the middleweight division, we have Lyoto Machida returning. He is 22-7, taking on Derek Brunson, who is 17-5. Now, Nick, what's the MMA oddsmaker's perspective on this one?
I put Brunson -160 to come back on Machida at +120, and it was not an easy opener. I mean, just a couple years back when Machida was obviously not on this little decline that he's hit here, he would definitely be a solid favorite over a guy like Brunson. But, I mean, despite Brunson's recent success, but now, I mean, it is what it is. He's been out for a couple years, basically, and he's looked pretty bad, to say the least. I mean, you could tell it's evident that Machida is definitely on the decline. And the sad thing is, I mean, he used to handle wrestlers early on in his career pretty well. I mean, he was able to outstrike them, keep the fight upright, and just kind of make some of them look really bad. But as of late, he's been actually getting beat on the ground by wrestlers. I mean, look what Romero was able to do to him. I mean, that was nasty. I mean, it was just, I felt bad for Romero. I mean, taking that kind of punishment on the ground, especially after he got destroyed by Rockhold the fight before that. So not a good look. I mean, coming off back to back, and it wasn't just he got beat up a little bit on the ground. I mean, he got destroyed by both Rockhold and Romero on the ground. So I think the break was good for Machida, because I mean, after coming off two bad losses like that, especially at age almost 40, I mean, you need to kind of step back, take a little break, let your body truly heal, get your mind right a little bit as well. But now he's coming right back into the fire a couple years later, where there could be a little bit of cage rust, of course, going up against a guy that has a pretty decent momentum on his side. I mean, Brunson's the type of guy that has really gotten better fight by fight. I know he lost a questionable decision to Silva, but before that he lost to Whitaker, which obviously we know Whitaker, what kind of fighter he is now. I mean, he's wearing the strap for a reason, a middleweight, the interim champion. I mean, he's just a tremendous fighter. So that's not necessarily a bad loss. It was the way he went about that fight. I mean, as sloppy and aggressive as Brunson was, but he managed to rebound decently and not compose himself a little bit better against Anderson Silva. And again, a lot of people believe that Brunson actually won that fight. So it is what it is. I mean, judges get things wrong, as we all know. And then, of course, Brunson got back on track with a KO win over a guy like Kelly. So Brunson is the type of wrestler that can get the fight to the ground when he wants to at times. I mean, he was even able to take a guy like Romero down when they fought back in the day. So, I mean, that's how impressive his wrestling is offensively. And then now he's getting confidence and he's got knockout power on the feet where he can not just wrestle you, he can knock you out on the feet as well. So Brunson has become more of a complete fighter. Again, his aggression at times, though, his sloppy aggression can lead to mistakes. And Machida is a great technician, a very clean striker that has knockout ability on with his hands or his feet. So Brunson cannot walk into something because Machida will put his lights out. So I think the game plan for Brunson here is obviously he's going to have to stand with Machida for a little bit, but he's going to go for those takedowns. And once on the ground, when Machida is on his back, we have seen him struggle. And I think Brunson can probably kind of follow the blueprint again that's Rockhold and Romero laid out there for him and probably get the job done if it does go down to the ground against a guy like Machida. So not an easy fight. I mean, from top to bottom, this card is stacked. I think this is one of the better UFC cards of the year, to be honest with you, and it's a free card. So hats off to the UFC for that. But overall, I got a slightly lean towards Brunson. I mean, just too many things right now that I question about Machida coming into this fight. So typically I would actually be picking Machida if it wasn't for the time off and how he's looked the last couple fights. And again, Brunson has a little bit more positive momentum, I think, at this point of his career. So all that's kind of swaying me a little bit towards Brunson, but how can you really truly be confident in a situation like this? You can't. So the pick is Brunson. I wouldn't lay the chalk even at $1.55 where it is now. It's -155, Brunson +135. His line margins basically have tightened up a little bit, and there is two-way action on this fight as well. I wouldn't lay it. I think it's a dog or pass situation, and I'm not necessarily saying to bet Machida either. So I think it's one of those spots, even though it's a main event, you kind of sit back, watch, see how it unfolds. Brunson's either going to have a great win on his resume or Machida's going to have a nice bounce back win, and maybe he has a little bit left in the tank that we pretty much all think he does not. So we'll see how it goes. But the pick right now is Brunson to win.
This is just a tough fight because there are so many intangibles. I mean, Leona Machida hasn't fought since 2015 when he was violently finished by Yoel Romero. And before that, he was violently finished by Luke Rockhold. So he hasn't won since a 2014 victory over CB Dalloway almost 3 years ago. So yeah, I mean, he was facing elite people. His three of his last four losses are to Chris Weidman, Luke Rockhold, Yoel Romero. I mean, clearly the elite of the elite. But, I mean, you got to remember, I mean, this guy is 39 years old. He's coming off of basically being out of the game for 2 years and being suspended for PEDs. Derek Brunson now clearly is not even close to as skilled as Lyoto Machida in terms of striking technique, in terms of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, you know, you name it. But Brunson is extremely powerful. He's extremely dangerous. He's aggressive and he has pretty good wrestling. So, you know, a 39-year-old off the meds Lyoto Machida might be too rusty to handle Derek Brunson. I mean, Derek Brunson just survived against Anderson Silva and should have won that fight. So if he can hang with Anderson Silva and arguably beat him, even though he probably got hosed by the judges, he should be able to do okay against Lyoto Machida. That being said, peak Lyoto Machida would tear through Derek Brunson so hard it would be scary. Like, when he was at his best, he was so good at controlling distance and then exploding forward and landing those sneak attacks like a viper. So it's just really difficult to get a read on this. You know, is Machida back? I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of question marks. How rusty is he going to be? you know, especially at 39 years old and coming off of a steroid suspension. So, with that said, I have to lean Derek Brunson just because of how he performed against Anderson Silva in a similar situation and the fact that Machida has been out for so long and looked like crap in his last two losses. Again, I know they were against fighters better than Brunson, but so there's a possibility that say he comes, that Machida shows up and performs against Brunson like Whitaker did, just surviving Brunson's best shot early and then just smashing him. But I'm leaning more towards Brunson being a little more cautious this time around, like he was against Anderson Silva, looking for takedowns, picking his spots, and then trying to maybe bully Machida. So I'm leaning Brunson. I think that he'll find some success with his wrestling and might be able to get a TKO that way, because Machida has been hurt pretty badly in his last two fights when he was put on his back by Romero and Rockhold. So my pick is going to be Brunson, but again, it just totally depends on which Lyoto Machida shows up. So that'll do it for our full event breakdown for UFC Fight Night 119. Now, our premium bets for the event will be released this Friday following the weigh-in, so stay tuned for that if you're an MMA Oddsbreaker premium member. If we have a free play to give out, make sure to follow at MMAOBPremium on Twitter, because that's where we'll post them first. We can also notify you of our free bets via email alert if you prefer that method. Just send an email to picks@MMAOddsbreaker.com and we'll add you to our free bet mailing list. Special thanks to our sponsor, Five Dime Sportsbook. Good luck, everyone, and hopefully the betting gods are on your side this weekend.